Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts, announced last week that they're looking for a strategic partner that could help them survive while they decide whether or not to admit a class of students to start at the college in the fall of 2019. Here's Miriam Nelson, president of Hampshire College, speaking about the decision at a press conference.
As we look through the next couple of years, we're balancing our budget. It gets increasingly tough for us to do that when we look in the out years in terms of the demographic cliff and things like that.
This is just the latest headline about the uncertain future of small colleges in our region. Mount Ida College in Newton, Mass., closed in 2018. Wheelock College merged with Boston University. And just this week, Green Mountain College, the 185-year-old school in western Vermont, said it will close at the end of the spring semester. Here to talk about the future of small colleges in our region is Laura Krantz. She's a higher education reporter for the Boston Globe. I asked her, is this news from Hampshire similar to what she's heard from other schools?
Yes, definitely. It's what all the school presidents are saying who find themselves in this position. And they're right to a certain extent. We know that there is a declining number of high schoolers in the U.S., especially in the Northeast. And so that's going to be an increasing problem for colleges in the years to come. At the same time, the population who is going to college is increasingly unable to pay the high tuition that these schools are charging. So those two things combined are making it really hard for colleges.
We also called Sue Stubner, president of Colby Sawyer College in New London, New Hampshire. We asked her about her reaction to the Hampshire College news.
It was definitely one that surprised us. When you look at just their fundamentals, they look on paper like they're doing well. So I think I would applaud them for projecting out into the future and seeing that there's a problem coming. I'm sure there's been a lot of deliberation around what's the right path to go forward, and I hope that they're able to find a partner that's a good fit.
I'm sure that some of the problems that have been outlined already apply in some ways to Colby Sawyer College. Maybe you can talk about how your school is the same or different from places like Hampshire and some of the others that have fallen on hard times right now.
Well, I think we're all facing, as Laura said, that the demographics are not in our favor. You know, there are fewer and fewer students graduating from high school in New England, and the growth in some of the areas where students are going to be graduating from high school are in populations that have not traditionally always gone on to college with the same degree of success. In New England and New Hampshire in particular, the greatest growth in high school graduates is going to be first-generation students, and so I think one way that we may be a little bit distinct is that we do have 46% of our students are first generation. Laura's absolutely right that the sticker price of higher education is incredibly confusing to families today. The real reality of the net cost to students, however, is usually much more affordable than it appears at first. So we do have this real conundrum of how to make students aware that there's a substantial amount of financial aid available for students. I think the other thing that I would just note is that we're all facing pressure to think about what our strengths are, where we can really accentuate what we do well. And the outcomes piece is critical. You have to be able to translate for students and families, as Laura said, how whatever kind of education you offer translates into being prepared for your first job as well as for your lifelong career.
Given all these issues and the importance of making sure that you've got the right number of students at any one time or any given semester, it's interesting, Laura, what Hampshire has decided to do in waiting a bit on the announcement about whether or not they're going to admit a fall class. At least they are signaling to parents and students, here's what our intentions are moving forward. However, I could see the downstream impact of that being that if we talk about this enough right now, probably no one's going to want to go to Hampshire College in the fall for fear that it's just going to fall apart halfway through a semester.
Yeah, it's a complete catch-22. But I thought it was really fascinating the way that Hampshire did this, because it's kind of signaling that schools are watching other ones close and saying, you know, we're not going to be like them. I'm talking about Mount Ida. It was so chaotic and last minute that I feel like this is a direct reaction to that, them saying, we're going to try to be up front. We're going to let you know what's going on. It's also in their interest because they're trying to attract another entity to merge with them. But I think there is, just as in the way that parents are becoming more savvy, I think that among colleges it's becoming more, I don't know, I would be interested in President Stubner, your thoughts on this, but accepted that it might be inevitable for some of these schools to cease to exist in one form or another. And I feel like schools are at least trying to go about it in a more responsible way, because I think they feel like they won't be blamed so much for doing something wrong as just seen as sort of a victim of the economic times that we're in.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Laura. I was just recently at the Council of Independent Colleges President's Institute, which happens early January every year. And I would say of the meetings that I've attended, this was one of the ones with the most candor and realism amongst the presidents and a willingness to really share what's going on and, you know, being honest about it's not going to be the same path for each of us. You know, we need to, some of us are going to be able to find partnerships that really sustain us. You know, others are not going to have the same choices. And, you know, there's certainly some questions about how Hampshire has gone about this, but good for them for being transparent and trying to be proactive.
Laura, as someone who covers higher education across our region, what you think this means for the future of higher education, especially these small private schools, of which there are so many across New England, that they're having to think differently about what the idea of liberal arts really means?
Yeah, it's so interesting because it almost signals that while this is an industry and colleges are businesses, for a long time they haven't really thought or talked that way or operated that way, even though that's what they are. It's so unique, this industry that we're talking about, because colleges are so different from your average business. They're a community, and there are alumni, and there are traditions and buildings. President Stubner's, her college, has a beautiful library that's a former barn, and it just seems so much more tragic to lose a college than it would, you know, any other type of business. In a way, it's similar to what's happening across the country economically as the middle class is sort of disappearing. This middle class of colleges is also sort of disappearing. And you wonder if we're going to see sort of the same stratification. You know, the wealthy elite schools are always going to be there, and they're always going to be able to fill their classes. Their yield rates are always going to be 100%. And there's always going to be, I feel like, in one form or the other, public colleges and schools that are really committed to access and that can offer degrees at a lower price. But as for these sort of regional schools that are small and unique, I don't know. We'll see.
Laura Krantz is a higher education reporter for the Boston Globe. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks also to Sue Stubner, president of Colby Sawyer College in New London, New Hampshire. It sounds like a wonderful place. We want to come visit. Thank you so much, Sue.
You're welcome anytime, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.